The governors of our region's states have been meeting more and more, and they say they have a number of issues they want to tackle together. At the same time, the attorneys general of the states are going after the Trump administration more and more. What does this all mean? Welcome. Thanks for being a part of the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak, and as I said a moment ago, the governors are meeting. They're talking about vaping. It's all over the news nowadays. They're talking about legalizing marijuana, and there are other items on the agenda. I could think of transportation, housing right off the top of my head. So the question is this the start of a new paradigm? I mean, does this mean it's more us, the states, against them, the feds? And legally, you have to ask, is this going to work? I mean, how much power do the states have? And will there be enough cooperation for the states to put aside their differences and work together? Everything is always rosy at the beginning, right? And then someone has to do the dishes. Your thoughts and your comments are always welcome. Email us at tfs@wshu.org. And you can find us on Facebook. We're at Full Story WSHU. Let's start by bringing in Karen DeWitt. Karen covers Albany and politics for us, and she's been keeping a close eye on all the recent meetings. Hey, Karen, how are you?
Hey, Ron.
Things are good?
Yes, very good.
Excellent. Can we start with Governors Cuomo and Lamont? They've been meeting a few times now, right?
That's right. And a little bit of history about that regarding our governor, Andrew Cuomo, and how he feels about legalizing cannabis. About 2.5 years ago, in answer to a reporter's question, he said that he believed it was a gateway drug. So he wasn't a fan. But last year, he put it in his state budget, and now the governor denies this, but a lot of sources that I have through the legislature say that he kind of tried to hold it up behind the scenes. He put up a bunch of obstacles. He didn't really want it in the budget, so it ended up out of the budget as a standalone bill at the end of the session, and it was too tough for the Democrats who controlled the Senate to pass it because they need to keep their Long Island seats that they recently won, Democratic senators. And if they want to have more than a token majority, and some of the Long Island Democrats didn't want to sign on to it. In New York, Ron, it all comes down to Long Island in the end.
It sure does. But he is now firmly behind the legalization effort?
Well, it appears that way now that he's been seizing the initiative. And, you know, he was the one who started this whole possibility of a multi-state agreement. So one of the problems is, as probably all of our listeners know, cannabis is legal in Massachusetts, and it's drawing many New Yorkers and people from Connecticut over the border and both stay to buy marijuana, and nobody's really bothering them about going back home. And New York and Connecticut are losing out on tax dollars because.
Hey, Karen, I'll tell you what we're going to do because we're having some issues with your phone quality. We actually have an audio clip from Governor Cuomo. So I'll tell you what, we're going to listen to that. And then while that plays, we're going to call you back. We'll get a better phone line and then we'll continue the conversation.
Okay. Now, I was having trouble hearing you. Thought it was me. Great.
Okay, great. So we'll fix that right now. As Karen was just saying, this regional strategy that they're talking about, and that means Governor Cuomo, and that means Governor Lamont, and then we're also talking about some of the other governors, too, Tom Wolf down in Pennsylvania, Phil Murphy in New Jersey. They're getting together, and they're trying to band together on a regional basis. And Governor Cuomo says this regional strategy now is really the first of its kind that at least we know of when it comes to public health and regulations.
This is a very important topic, and it's probably one of the most challenging issues that I know that I've had to address in the state of New York. It is complicated, it is controversial, and it is consequential. And that is a very difficult and challenging combination. Consequential because if you do not do it right, you can do harm. And the whole purpose here is to do good. So it is very important. It's also, there's not all that much history and experience here to follow.
Now, the question is, as Karen was just mentioning a few moments ago, what if one state legalizes and the other doesn't? then doesn't make any sense, because I remember speaking with a Connecticut state senator from Greenwich, and we spoke a number of months ago, and she is opposed to legalization. And I remarked, what's the point of Connecticut saying no if New York says yes, and then all anyone has to do is drive a few minutes across the border? And she said she was okay with that. And Governor Cuomo addressed that at the conference, and he said that's why the states need to work together.
Because we don't want someone driving from New York to Connecticut or from New Jersey to New York to buy marijuana and then drive back and possibly be using it in the car. So to the extent regional coordination makes sense and is politically practicable, we want to do that.
Karen, my question for you is that I'm glad we got you back. Has anyone spoken about this as a new way of doing business? I mean, the states banding together, is this the start of a new political paradigm, if you will?
Well, it does seem that way. I think some of it started when President Trump pulled out of the climate change Paris Accord, and Governor Cuomo, the governor of California, I think a couple of other states got together and said, look, the federal government's falling down on the job here. We have to step in. And we are seeing more and more of that during the Trump administration, and legalizing cannabis is just one more thing, because as you were just mentioning, if some states it's legal in some states and illegal in others, it's just starting to create a big headache for everybody, particularly in the Northeast, where just about every other state it's legal, and you have to cross through states where it's not legal, and it's a patchwork, that it would just make sense if they could all agree, say, on the same tax rate, so people didn't want to get, a tax break by going across state lines. And I think they want to avoid people driving around and then, being tempted to sample the product while they're driving, which you're absolutely not supposed to do.
Sure. Hey, Karen, since you've been covering it, is this the first time where the states have been trying to do something like this on a regional basis?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's because Governor Cuomo just wants to find a new way to do it. He doesn't always get along with the legislature that well, so he might feel better if he got a plan with some of the other governors and presented it to the legislature and said, look, you're going to embarrass yourselves if you don't agree to this, because I don't know about other state legislatures, but ours right now is pretty independent, and they don't always do everything that the governor wants them to do. So this might be a way, if he has a done deal, to say, look, you just got to say okay to this, or we're going to be the ones holding it up. So it's a way to put pressure on it and finally get it done.
You know, I was wondering over the weekend, if President Trump doesn't get reelected, then will all this regional cooperation melt away? Because it does seem that it's aimed at the Democratic states against this Republican president and the Republican administration. And I'm just wondering how this is going to play out in the future when, let's say, a Democrat is in office. Will the Democrats around here need to band together?
Well, once they get in the habit of it and get along, maybe they will. I mean, I don't think that even if Trump were not to be reelected, we're going to go back to the Obama era. A lot of things have changed, and maybe this is one of them, that the states have gained more power through these years, and maybe they'll use it, because it's true the Northeast has different interests than, say, the Southwest. So, I would think if they do develop a good working relationship, and this is going to be a big test if they do have an agreement out of this, then maybe there are other things they can cooperate on.
Where does it go now? I mean, does anything take place in the next few months in terms of the issues we're talking about, specifically legalizing marijuana and the vaping? Or is that something that's going to have to wait till next year?
Next year's not that far away. Really.
Yeah.
When you think about it, January, the legislative session starts. And I assume the governor will have something on legalizing marijuana in his budget, and probably also with vaping, because he's tried to act alone through executive orders. We can get into that later. Had some problems in the courts. And so I think that we're going to see both of those things. But it's really only a couple of months now before they get started. So it's not that far away. And I think starting in January, they might act on some of these things.
Karen, I only have 1 minute left. I'm wondering, has there been any reaction from any members of the GOP to this?
Yeah, that's a good question. They're really quite in the minority now, and they're quite quiet. Not on this issue. Other things that the Democrats have been doing, but not on this one. And I'm going to go on a limb here. We do have a new Republican Party chair who is a younger person. He's only 38 years old, Nick Langworthy. And he does not talk virulently against legalization. He's never, he hasn't said he's for it, but I just get the sense that he's a little more open to it, so this is not going to be a giant issue that he would take a stand on.
And I was wondering if anyone from the Republican Party has said anything about this spirit of cooperation, this regionalism.
Oh, well, probably not if they're left out, right? It isn't in their interest.
Karen, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I just want to mention that coming up a little bit later from the Republican point of view in Connecticut, Vin Candelora is going to be joining us, and he'll be giving us his views. So hopefully maybe we can even find out if what's going on in Connecticut marries up to what's taking place in New York. Karen, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll speak with you soon. If you would like to join in today's program, you can find us on Facebook. You can leave a comment there. You can like us there. It's Full Story WSHU. And our email is tfs@wshu.org, tfs@wshu.org. When we come back in our next segment, we're going to have two other guests. Chris Keating is a great writer. He writes for the Hartford Current. He's been keeping an eye on this for a long time, so we really want to get his perspective on this because this is something completely different in terms of politics and cooperation around here. And they had this conference the other day where the governors all got together and many staff people. Mary Dougherty Abrams was there. She's the state senator who represents Cheshire, and she is the co-chair of the Public Health Committee. She attended that conference. She's going to give us her point of view. Remember, if you would like to download the full story as a podcast, you can download it on Google Play, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. It's The Full Story on WSHU, and once again, you can find us on Facebook at Full Story WSHU. Just let me take 20 seconds to tell you about tomorrow's show, because I'm excited to talk about it. Because anyone who has ever put a kid through college knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's a nightmare. I saw a number the other day, and it said that the average cost per year is around $44,000 a year. To be honest, I think that's low. I think it could easily go much higher in some cases. Look, when you factor in the books and the driving and the rooms and the food and everything else, it's a ton of money. How does anyone even afford it? I mean, if you have one kid, it's one thing. If you have three or four kids, forget it. You're in the poorhouse. So the question is, should the states make some schools like UConn free for low-income students? Should they boost spending for community colleges? There are a whole bunch of things that are being talked about right now, including forgiving student loans. The student loan debt in this nation, you got to hear this number, it's $1.5 trillion. That's a T. I didn't say a B. $1.5 trillion. Colleges and how to pay for them and student loans and debt, that'll all be on the docket tomorrow. I hope you join us. Two more guests now for our next segment. Chris Keating writes for the Hartford Current. He's a great writer. Keeps an eye on the political scene. He's the Capitol Bureau Chief. Hey, Chris, how are you?
How's it going? How's things?
Things are good. And we're talking about some heavy stuff here today, Chris, and paradigm shifts. And Chris, joining us is Mary Dougherty Abrams. The senator represents Cheshire, Meriden, Middletown, Middlefield, Rockfall. She's the deputy president pro tem and is the co-chair of the Public Health Committee. Hey, Senator, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for your time. Senator, what's your take on this new level of cooperation? Is this a good thing?
I think it's fantastic because I think it's what most citizens would want, is for us to pool our resources to learn from one another and get what the best practices are. I was very impressed with the panels that presented on Thursday, and I think there was a lot of information to share and a lot of things to consider with the states that, we're in such close proximity to. What we do affects one another, and acknowledging that is important.
Hey, Chris, why is this happening now? How come this didn't happen in the past? You've been at the Capitol for a number of years. Why didn't this happen a few years ago?
Well, I think part of what's going on is there's a very good relationship between Governor Lamont and Governor Cuomo. They want to work together. Lamont is a new guy who is reaching out. frankly, Governor Cuomo and Governor Malloy didn't get along that well. They were two pretty independent guys, and they did not do a lot together. I was there basically for all 8 years, and I don't ever remember Cuomo coming to the governor's mansion in Hartford, and I've been told he never did. And about a month ago, Cuomo came up to Hartford, and Lamont, as you know, has he flew to Lake Ontario to meet Cuomo, which showed his level of concern. And then they had another summit in Manhattan.
And Governor Cuomo and Malloy never went fishing together or played tennis together or anything like that?
As far as I know, nope, they never. I never saw Cuomo in Hartford ever, and I was there for all 8 years.
All right, so personalities seem to have a lot to do with this. If you don't mind, I'd like to play some audio clips right now, and then I'd like to get both of you to comment on them. The first we're going to hear is from Governor Cuomo, and then right after that from Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont, and basically they addressed what we're talking about.
The federal government in situations like this would normally be helpful. In theory, the federal government is supposed to get involved in issues that go beyond one state's borders. That is not happening on this issue. It's not happening on the environment. It's not happening on infrastructure. It's not happening on anything. So Governor Lamont and I were together, and I said there's liberation in the acknowledgement that we are on our own. We are on our own. Stop waiting for someone to come in and help. We are on our own in a small boat in the middle of the ocean. Start paddling. Let's paddle together.
Look, coming out of the private sector, I thought government had a bad case of the slows, and it took us a long time to get things done. But working with Governor Cuomo, that is not our problem. We got together a couple of months ago, and we talked about all the things we're stronger doing together on a regional basis and what we can do in collaboration. We talked about cybersecurity. We talked about transportation. And we talked about cannabis and now vaping.
It's Senator Abrams. I have to admit, I was laughing a little bit listening to Governor Cuomo. I mean, he's got a sense of humor about certain things. Is this in response to what's taking place with the Trump administration? Or is this more simply saying, look, for anything, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, we just have to work together now?
I think it's funny that you played that clip because as Mr. Keating was talking, I'd written a note to myself that to fill a void. I felt very much that part of this is about filling the void that the federal government seems to have created in not addressing some of these issues and leaving states on their own to solve their problems or to create new policies. For instance, with the vaping, it seems obvious that the FDA should be very much involved. And although they've strongly urged people to stop vaping, they still haven't come out with whether or not vaping's safe and what should we be looking for, despite all the problems that have come up through the CDC. So I think states are very much feeling that we're on our own, and that's why banning together seems to be the best idea.
Chris, any reaction that you're hearing so far from members of the Republican Party? Because this does seem to be the Democrats. It seems to be Lamont and Cuomo and Murphy going against the Republicans. And I'm just wondering what the Republican point of view is. And I want to mention in the next segment, Vin Candelora is going to be joining us.
Yeah, I would think Republicans are not necessarily in favor of vaping. I guess it is true that
some of the people have been involved
Democrats. If you want to talk on a regional basis,
yes.
Governor Charlie Baker, who is in constant contact with Lamont and is going to be meeting with Lamont again after an initial meeting, he's a Republican. But yes, obviously Cuomo and Lamont are Democrats, that's for sure. But I think something of this nature kind of cuts across all lines.
But have you heard anything from any Republicans specifically in Connecticut about this regional cooperation?
Not necessarily. I haven't. I was there at the mansion when Cuomo and Lamont came out and spoke about it. And Cuomo did not mention Trump by name, but clearly he's talking about Trump and feels that there hasn't been any help in the first 3 years on any variety of issues. And then this is just another one.
Senator Abrams, could you give us some nuts and bolts here? I mean, how does this work? How do the states work together to get this done? It's tough enough to get each state to pass some legislation in their own respective states. How do you get them to do this together?
Well, I didn't get the feeling from being at that summit that it necessarily meant that everyone needed to be in lockstep. What it meant was that we needed to consider what our neighbors were doing and to pull resources together where we could. For instance, they talked about pulling resources together if they moved forward with cannabis legislation and there needed to be lab testing. How could we do that more regionally to save money? Things like that, common lab tests or law enforcement tools. There are many things that we can consider and talk about that don't necessarily have to be in lockstep with one another, the exact legislation. And I absolutely agree with Mr. Keating. As a chair of public health, we find that our committee tries to work as bipartisanly as possible because these issues, an issue like vaping and protecting our children, should not be a partisan issue. And I really didn't have any feeling while I was at the summit that it was spoken about in that way. It happened that, you know, the Democrats were there. I'm a Democrat. I chair the Public Health Committee. I was there as the chair of the Public Health Committee, not as I didn't feel as a Democrat, you know, just simply as the chair of the Public Health Committee.
Sure. So do you see this as the beginning of something even bigger? I mentioned at the top of the program, I mean, is this going to be expanded to housing and transportation and climate change legislation?
I think where it makes sense that we cooperate with our neighbors, we should be doing that. And if there's things that, you know, don't fit in with one another and we're not in the best interest, because ultimately we have to act in the best interest of the citizens of Connecticut. And if there are things that, you know, don't fit in, then we have to acknowledge that. But if any way that we can work with our neighbors and do better for our citizens, then that's the way we need to go.
Chris, are you hearing anything along those lines in terms of the other topics I mentioned, transportation, housing, climate change, and so on?
Well, transportation, yes. Obviously, Metro North goes into New York and it comes back into Connecticut. What Lamont was talking about the other day, basically, you could speed up the trains in Connecticut, and that's a wonderful thing. And after you leave Greenwich, then the train could stop in Rye or Port Chester, New York. So what's the point? In other words, if you're taking the train down from New Canaan, it's got to be a good ride all the way into Manhattan. So supposedly Cuomo has pledged to help on the New York side, too. Part of this is what they call signalization, making sure the signals works better. But if you want to speed up the trains, one of the first rules of train engineering is make sure that the tracks are straight. The less curves, the less turns you have, the trains can go much faster. That doesn't sound like rocket science, but if you can shave 15 minutes off the ride, it's a big deal. So I haven't heard much about climate change or anything of that nature. New York, if you think about it for a minute, New York and Connecticut are kind of small players in the climate change world, which where most of the climate change problem is actually outside the United States. But on things they can control, such as Metro North, yes, absolutely, they have talked about and pledged that they will work together.
Senator Abrams, are you hearing any other objections? I mean, you know, it's the other day when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, okay, it's great that they're trying to work together. But in the meantime, Connecticut has 169 towns, and a lot of times they don't play well together. You know, they do some things regionally, but on other things, they basically say, leave us alone. We are the masters of our own destiny. They don't want anyone to tell them what to do. Any fears of that going forward?
I don't have any fears about that, and I just wanted to add something to what Mr. Keating was talking about. You know, the other thing is we do share Long Island Sound with New York, and when we look at things like in climate change, when we're looking at wind energy or, you know, some other things like that, or even using our ports through Long Island Sound, like, it's good to cooperate with our neighbors. So I think that there are other areas that we can talk with one another and make sure that we're doing the best we can. I think that there are definitely areas where people want local control. There's no doubt about that. And that would include local control being state control. But there's also issues that rise above that. And I think that some of the issues that we discussed on Thursday, the vaping, the legalization of marijuana. They didn't talk about transportation or climate change, but you can see where those areas could grow as well. There are other issues which the more we cooperate, the better it is for our citizens. And so to ignore that would be foolish.
Senator, as Karen DeWitt and I were talking about in the first segment of this program, but the end of the year is rapidly approaching. Do you anticipate anything being done on these issues before the end of the year, or is something going to happen come January, February, and so on?
Well, our next session begins in February in Connecticut, so I imagine that we'll be acting on some of this then. I think that, you know, some people have been wondering why the governor doesn't do an executive order or something, you know, immediate. But although that might seem immediate, what's really happened with those is that they've been caught up in the court system for the governors that have tried to do that. Mm. So in Connecticut, I think it makes sense that we move through the legislative process. I believe in that. And I think that's the direction that we'll go in.
So just to clarify, they tried that in New York, and then, as you were pointing out, it ended up in the courts, and basically
right.
The court
in Massachusetts as well.
Massachusetts also, and so
yeah.
You're saying the tried and true method is to actually let the legislators decide on something like this.
I believe that's true. I do appreciate the media attention, including this program, to the issue of vaping, because I do see it as a crisis and an immediate concern. So I don't want to come off as though I feel that waiting is okay. I really want the message to get out there to parents and kids that this is dangerous, that it causes lung damage, you know, burning of your lung tissue, and that people should stay away from it. So the more we can get that message out, and I'll keep working at that between now and February, I will do it as much as I possibly can so that people know what the real dangers are. And then, but in terms of moving forward with actual policy changes and legislation, then we need to go through the process.
Chris, you've been keeping an eye on this for a while in terms of the political scene. I guess I'm kind of surprised that some are even still saying we should try to legalize marijuana, because next year is an election year, and that's a political hot potato. Will that actually be attempted again?
That's a huge point. An election year is a very, very important thing. Yes, it will probably be attempted again, but from what I've been told by a lot of people, next year might not be the year. You have to remember it's a so-called short session. It's an election year. By short session, I mean that it starts in February and it ends in May. The long session starts in January and ends in June. There's a little bit more wiggle room. There's time to do things. But in general, the short session is usually about 12 weeks. And don't get me wrong, a lot can be done in a short session, but also certain issues can get elbowed aside, and there's only so much time. There's only so much time to do things.
And finally, I've just got 1 minute left. Senator Abrams, is there going to be a special session this fall?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been hearing since September that we're going to be having a special session, but it hasn't materialized so far, so I don't know.
Yeah, back in June, they were saying that they were going to be it's going to be a special session in the summer, and then the summer turned into fall. And
mm-hmm.
I was just curious. I was wondering if you heard anything.
And
yeah, I just wanted to add,
if there's
could,
a will, there's a way, and I'm brand
new,
obviously.
Year,
so I would like to
chance
that we can accomplish whatever we set out
once
to
you start
accomplish.
Getting towards Christmas and people are out of town.
Hold on, Chris.
Chances of a special session in general diminish as you get deeper in the year, as you get closer to Christmas. And I say that as a guy who's been watching this since the days of Lowell Weicker.
Chris, we missed the first part of what you were saying. Unfortunately, we're all talking at once. Just say it again. You don't think there's going to be a special session?
Yes. What I was saying is as you get deeper into the year, the chances of a special session traditionally go down. I'm not saying it goes down to zero, but as you get closer to Christmas and people are out of town, people are on vacation, you have a much better chance of special sessions in September and October when the pace is different. You're certainly not going to have it in Thanksgiving week, as an example. As you get deeper into the year, the chances go down.
Chris Keating is the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Hartford Current. Mary Dougherty Abrams is the state senator who represents Cheshire, Meriden, Middletown, Middlefield, Rockfall, and as the Deputy President Pro Tem. Senator Abrams, thank you. Chris, thank you as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Speak with you soon. If you would like to comment on today's program, email us. We're at tfs@wshu.org. Facebook, find us at Full Story WSHU. You can leave a comment there, too. And all the full stories are available as podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We have got you covered across the board. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.